contact. And then ever since then, every fall and spring, Miko and Abina are here, and I cannot remember a Sunday where the message was a dud. Every time it was really clear. They're both prophetic but biblically grounded, and so it's always been a blessing for us to hear from Miko, and every once in a while you'll hear the coaching from Albina, you know. But anyway, I always thank Jesus. Like, oh, thank God, Suzanne doesn't do that. But anyway, that's I just find it great. Your teamwork. So anyway, you're a man of humility, and anyway, anyway, that's so awesome. And so, Glorious Gospel Ministries. So if you want to bless them, the QR code is going to be flashed up, on the screen. But again, let's welcome Miko, and thank you, brother. He was the former bodybuilder in Bulgaria. Okay.
Long time.
No, you're still looking good. Okay, here we go.
Thank you. Woo, praise God. Well, good afternoon, everybody. Praise God. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for the great privilege to join you and participate what God is doing with you. We consider you like great friends and like a family. We really love this church, the ministry, the fellowship, everything God is doing with you. And we're so grateful that God has connected us with you. And we really believe that God will make it even to expand and make it to thrive and flourish even more. I mean, our fellowship. So first of all, we want to thank you for your support. And want to boast a little bit of the fruits it brought into our ministry. You know, like Pastor John said, we are coming like 2 times per year. And you appreciate the ministry and you are sowing one way or another, spiritually, financially. And we just want to say a little bit about our first mission trip to Europe after being in the United States for 8 years. Because we were waiting for our green cards and then the pandemic came. But finally, this year, we were able to go back to Europe and minister to our churches and students and apostolic nations. Same church, actually, in Bulgaria, two couples came and they said, we cannot have children. So Mitko prayed for both couples. One of the couple was a young couple and the other couple, they just tried for 8 years. So he prayed for both and, of course,
We left the church, nothing happened. A month later, I receive a message from the girl, the young couple. She's our student, and she said that she's pregnant. And 2 months later, during the conference, the other couple came, and couldn't have children for 8 years. So they came, and they said, we're pregnant with twins. So double portion. So God is good. He loves us, and His power is, I don't know the word, but His power is like, I mean, His hand, I don't, there is no how to say the verse. His hand has no shortage to do miracles. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys. So also we have, if you would like to support our ministry, you can do that. We highly will appreciate that. You can do it on monthly basis if you want. We were able, after having a green card, we were able to register Glorious Gospel Ministry, our own ministry. So today's missionary Sunday, right? So we have t-shirts. If you consider, you can, you know, come after the service. You will help us go to the nations with them. We're planning every year to spend 4 to 5 months in Europe going to ministering there. So come after the service. There is a table.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Albena. Yeah. Thank you all, and thank you, Pastor John, for giving us a hand. We've been cross-pollinated by your passion and love, and equipped by your anointing, and we brought it back to Bulgaria and Europe. I know you go there, you love Europe, and we highly appreciate that. I just wanted to give a short encouragement word about the partnering. And not only with us, I know you partner with many other ministries. And you know the story when David had to pursue these thieves and these robbers. They burned down Ziklag, the city, and took the wives, the children, and all their possession and run away. And later on, David pursued that small band, you know, army, whatever it was. And they came to a place where they had to cross a brook, a small river. And the Bible says like they were about 600 men, and 200 of them were so tired and exhausted they couldn't cross the brook. And they were left on the other side with the gear. So 400 continued to pursue. They found the robbers, you know, they overtake them, they defeated them and restored everything, plus all the spoils, you know, they already collected. I mean that these robbers. So David is coming back, and these 200 men were waiting there, and they see David coming and his 400 men, and they started cheering up. And some people said to David, we will not give these people anything of the spoils we obtained, you know, because they didn't come with us. And David said, no, my friends, we will give him an equal part. And from that moment on, the Bible says it became a law. He established a principal law in Israel that those who stand with the gear and they cannot go will have an equal part with those who go to the battle. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that exciting that you guys didn't go to Europe? You didn't go to these places, you know, and these gypsies communities and different cultures and some challenging things, you know, culturally in the mentality and stuff like that. But yet, God has promised that He will give you an equal part of blessing if you stay with us one way, spiritually or financially, and you receive an equal part in the Spirit, and even financially, God will continue to overflow blessings upon you. I just wanted to encourage you, because not many people know, because imagine this 200, they would have been like jealous for what the 400 got, but they received an equal portion because of the, the heart of David. And I believe our Father's heart is even greater. And we are all partnering together, and we are all one army of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So good. I'm very excited. And if I become a madman, it's because of the Lord. Amen. As Paul says, if we are beyond ourselves, it is because of the Lord. If we are, well, polite and stuff like that, it is because of you. But I am very excited about the short message, of course, but it will be intensive one. I want to share with you, the Lord gave it to me, and how to live a supernatural life, and not just how to live, but how to remain supernatural, okay? Because the Christian life doesn't consist of anything which we obtain or inherited as humans, from the first Adam, from our natural origin. Actually, the Bible says that we are born from above. Amen. We became new creatures. We became with a heavenly origin which we obtained of God. To those who received Him, the Bible says He gave power and authority to become children of the Most High God. And I mean, we as humans in the physical body and even in our mental faculties, God involved into the spiritual reality, into the spiritual realm and nature, even nature of God Himself. As Peter says in the New Testament, that he gave us this blessing to become partakers of the divine nature. So one part of us, I'm not talking about your physical body, I'm not talking about your mental faculties, knowledge and background and cultural stuff, I'm talking about your spiritual man, the man of the heart, the new man born of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, he imparted and he deposited in you on the inside supernatural life, divine life, Zoe kind of life. Amen. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, praise God, rivers of living water shall flow out of his innermost being. Talking and pointing to the Spirit, which those who receive him and who believe in him will receive and be born out of after his resurrection. So you see, we are empowered, we are equipped, and not just emotionally, not just intellectually, but actually naturally. It became part of our nature, this supernatural life. Paul says in the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 4, this is the Amplified Bible, we were buried, therefore, with Jesus by the baptism into death, so that just as, in the same manner, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, so we too might habitually live and behave in newness of life. Habitually live and behave in newness of life. And I know we need food, okay, natural food. I know we need clothes, we need finances, we need some care, emotional things, no doubt about it. But most of all, I want to remind you that each and every one, every Christian, every child of God is empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside and with the nature of God, which is spiritual. Oh, praise God. And He has empowered you to live victorious life of overcoming the limitations, the boundaries, and the challenges of the world. Can I prove that? Can I prove? What is born of God? John says, what is born of God overcomes the world. Isn't that amazing? And this is the victory, you know, our faith. Praise God. And Paul says in the book of Ephesians, so finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine how powerful our Lord is? How great is His might and His power? And Paul is actually admonishing us to remain and to continue to be strong and to draw strength and power from Him, which means whatever He is capable, whatever He is able, it belongs also to us. And you have access, and you have free access, and you can draw from this unlimited, you know, source of power to apply by faith and by trust, by believing in every situation, whatever you are facing, so you may have a victory. And the Bible, I'm telling you, from Genesis to Revelation, you know, is a supernatural book of thousands of records of signs, wonders, and miracles, which are a result of just exercising faith in our God and Lord and Savior. Of course, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that privilege, but yet the covenant of God, of grace, of mercy, of support, and redeeming them from the curse of sin and death, you know, was with them. But how much more today we who are free by the blood of Jesus, you know, can go even beyond every accomplishment and everything the Old Testament heroes ever got. Praise God. And I just want to give you a few examples which will encourage you, encourage us, and be a good reminder to whom we belong and to what kind of things we are involved, you know, became part of, and just never remain like usually men has this tendency to go back to the default of being natural, being just human. We are humans, no doubt about it, but not only, say amen, not only, amen. Yes, we have some of our triune nature, have some humanity, but in the spirit, I'm telling you, you are after God. You carry the image and the likeness and the nature of God. So we cannot remain anymore only mere humans. The devil always tries to bring you down and to remind you or to lock you in that concept that you are only a mere human. Not, we are not, and we are not limited anymore the way we used to be. Praise God. We got empowered with the supernatural life and power of God and the Holy Spirit. And we cannot remain defeated. We cannot remain, you know, just prevented of advancing because of something going on in the natural, because God has put everything under the feet of Jesus, and we are in Him, and we are in Christ. And I want to start with, thank you, Lord, so many good things in the Bible. But let me start with Israel, because Israel is a great example. The nation of Israel is a great example for us, because they were the chosen nation to minister to the purposes of God and bringing the plan of God, the plan of God of bringing the Redeemer to the world to fulfillment. And You know how everything started with Abraham, with the covenant, with the promises, and later on God multiplied his descendants, and out of the 12 tribes, you know, from Jacob, this huge multitude was transferred to Egypt. And finally, after 400 years of slavery, now God is sending Moses to take him out of Egypt and bring him where? To the promised land, which he promised to Abraham that he will give him. Okay? And so God did something miraculous. The deliverance was totally supernatural because he didn't use any power, any weapons and stuff like that to fight Pharaoh. But it was an angelic activity. It was a supernatural activity executed and performed for one night over the all power and land of Israel. So Pharaoh finally is releasing them and sending them away. So they got afraid that they will perish and God will destroy them. So finally they released Israel and they're going with a hand high and lifted up in victory. No one feeble among them, praise God. The most, massive healing in the history of humanity was that night when they ate the lamb and they ate the required sacrifice, and it brought healing, it brought power and strength to their bodies. So all of them, not even one left. Isn't that amazing? Not even one old feeble person left in Egypt. All were empowered, all were enabled to rise up and go and enter the purposes of the heart of the Father for them. And the same for us. We eat from the sacrifice of Jesus. We are empowered today by the blood. We are empowered by the body which is given for us. And it's amazing that in the Bible says that the leftovers, you remember the multiplying of the bread, the miracle with the multiplying. Isn't that amazing that the leftovers were surprisingly beyond and above everything they started with? They started with a little amount of small, loaves of bread, something like the boys' breakfast, but they collected 12 baskets filled with leftovers. Absolute. And I'm telling you today, it speaks about Jesus for you, Christ in you, the bread of heaven, the bread of life. Whatever he presents to you, I'm telling you, is beyond every capacity for us to contain. Amen. So they are on the way to the promised land, as I told you, and victoriously celebrating and triumphing over their enemies, over the slavery. And, it's a very long story, but I just wanted to mention one thing, that since they left Egypt, immediately God started teaching them and training them to live by a supernatural life, by the power of the supernatural. Amen. They didn't have anything natural to lean on, but they had to cross this desert and to overtake the enemies of the promised land, everything in a supernatural way. So God's purpose was to train them, to renew their minds, to teach them to shift from being natural and slaves and subject and subdued to the enemy, to Egypt, to start reigning in life through the one who was reigning in their midst. Amen. Jehovah. Oh, praise God. And step by step, God was teaching them and training them. Oh, I'm getting so excited, folks. Praise God. Because we are in the same shoes. We're in the same manner, in the same flow. You get born again. Amen. And now you are called and introduced in the sphere of new life. And immediately God starts teaching you and training you to start exercising and living this new life, supernatural life, victorious life. And he starts training you and equipping you to advance and just to proceed further
of manifesting the works of the Lord in this world. And you know, they came to the first miracle, they came to a place, okay, and they were so excited, you know, oh, we are free, no more Egypt, no more work and slavery. And they came to a place, the Bible says, where, because it's a desert, okay, they're in the desert, and 3 days journey, amen, no food, no water. Whatever they were able to collect to take with them was already consumed. So now they don't have anything in their own resources, and they are totally depending on the natural. But the natural is telling them that, do you remember that place they called Mara? Because the water was bitter. The first station, the first place they came, the water says, no, I'm not with you, and I'm not for you. They started drinking, and oh boy, it was nasty. It was smelling bad, and just the Bible says not able to drink it. And immediately they get disappointed. Immediately they start murmuring. Why? Because they still haven't learned that. They are not dependent anymore on the natural and what is surrounding them. But now they have someone else with them, sustaining, supporting, and helping them to advance, to overcome, and to reach the call he has called them to be. And they go to Moses, "What shall we drink? Why you brought us into this desert place, desolated place, to die," and stuff like that. And then Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a shrub, okay? And Moses had to cut a little branch from the shrub and throw it into the water. Isn't that like crazy? What are you talking about? What you have been on? Like, and he threw it, and they are witnessing this action. And then the Lord said, now go and drink. And they went and they tasted. And the Bible is so specific here. Doesn't say the water became drinkable. Okay, now they were able to drink it. It was acceptable. No, the quality was exceptional. The quality of the water, the Bible says, it was sweetened. It became delightful. What a transformation. Come on, folks. By the supernatural intervention of God, by something which is despised of the world. Of course, the spiritual meaning, Christ's life given for us. The Nazarene, the name Nazareth, and from Jesus the Nazarene, actually it means, literally translated, Nazareth means the city of the branch, okay? And Jesus the Nazarene means the branch, the promised one, you know, from the root of Jesse. And of course it speaks of Jesus being thrown into our mess, into our fallen state, and he would convert it and transform it and make it into new life and something sweet. But I'm not pointing to that. I'm just pointing to the supernatural power of God to train you, to equip you, to continue further without being stopped, you know, slowed down and prevented by sickness, by something mental like depression, fear, financial problems, lack, whatever, you know. He can make you prosper and overcome every circumstance, everything, because his life is in defeat. You know, cannot be defeated, cannot be stopped, cannot be, locked or whatever. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? So God was, and they started drinking, and then they got empowered, refreshed, and now they continue to go further. And then no bread, nothing like that. And the Lord started giving them, isn't that amazing? Bread from heaven. Until the day they entered in the promised land.
Because some people try to naturalize that miracle. And they said, oh, it was a formation of natural circumstances which appear in the desert, blah, blah. Don't trust that. No, it was the act of God, because it was transferred to the promised land. And 3 days after they ate of the harvest of the promised land, the Bible says, then the manna stopped, because now they are fed on a different source. Praise God. But my point is, God enabled them to advance through the desert, which was a long journey, by teaching and training them that they can overcome the natural by His supernatural power being with them. And this story continues, I'm telling you, from Genesis to Revelation, and has not ended yet. Has not ended into your life and my life. I'm telling you, the supernatural source of supernatural power to sustain, to support, to give you life, to give you victory, strength, power, ability, you name it, so you may rise up from the ashes of defeat and rise up and overcome your enemies and overcome your mountains, take over your mountains and valleys and prison cells and everything the enemy is trying to treat you, to put fear on you and to stop you. He is defeated. Praise God. He is defeated. And you see, it's strange that they couldn't understand the concept behind the manna. Okay, manna was a bread unknown, food unknown to their forefathers. That's why it was called manna, which means, what is this? Okay, and they never had anything like that. But God is giving them something new, which their forefathers didn't know and never experienced, actually. And I'm telling you, the body of Christ may come to revival, may come to manifestation of something of the Lord, which will be entirely new, which our forefathers never experienced, but on the purpose not to entertain and make us stuck to the floor and stuck to the, revival meetings, but to train, to equip, and empower us to live a supernatural life, that when we go out of this meeting, we can face our enemies and we can say, I don't buy this anymore. Get out of my life. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So the point is, why God was giving them this food? Because at one point they wanted meat and they started murmuring. Oh, we remember the watermelons. And I totally understand. But listen what the Lord told me. Because I used to mock them with the leeks, the watermelons, the garlic and stuff like that. I'm talking to some Koreans here, you know, kimchi and stuff like that. We love those things. Let us be honest. Amen. And if I'm in the desert, definitely I will miss those things. But to not miss the point, because they were constantly like going back, tending to default, of eating the former food. You see, this food of the world will not sustain you to cross the desert supernaturally and to make you to reach your destination, the final point you are destined to. Do you understand the point? God is feeding them with manna in order He may make them to advance unstoppable, supernatural journey, unstoppable, and to make it to the promised land without being dependent on any natural sources. But they are missing the point of the destiny, of the final destination they are destined, and they are totally, entirely, possessed by, oh, I miss this, I have the desire for that. Come on, rise up and go and move, you know, because you are not destined to sit in the desert and eat leeks and watermelons. Amen. And God was upset with these people because they you know, at some points they really irritated the you know, the heart of the father because of missing the point, total disobedience. And he gave him quails. Do you remember? Okay, I will give you meat. I will give you meat. And he gave him quails, which is absolutely mind-blowing. 3 days journey on the east side, on the west side, north side, south side. 3 days journey all around the camp. They had covered with quails. But are we called to sit in the desert and enjoy flesh and meat and quails? You know, like, oh, my belly is my master. No, they forgot that they are not called to please their belly. Of course, God was giving them food, plenty. But it was supernatural, so they may live and advance in a supernatural way, not being like the other people, depending on the water, on the food of this world, but being fed by heaven, by angels' bread, so they can make it victoriously and overcome their enemies and overtake the promised land without being dependent on chariots, horses, weapons, swords, whatever you name it, which the world around us is leaning on and seeking for. Whoo, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And my point is, you know, David is a good lesson for us. When David faced Goliath, he didn't fight Goliath with the weapons of this world. Amen. Because if you read the Bible, later on, when he was, when he fled from Saul, being persecuted, you know, and stuff like that, he went to the temple, to the high priest, and took the sword of Goliath. And that's how he left weaponized and equipped with the sword of Goliath and weapons of this world. But when it came to facing the enemy, he didn't use something equal, something which will respond equally to the weapons of Goliath. And when Goliath saw David coming against him, he totally despised him. And he said, am I a dog? So you are coming against me with, are you with me? With a stick. What's that? I'm telling you, the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. But they are mighty before God for pulling down and destroying strongholds. What are these strongholds? Of course, some mental things, you know, here, arguments and stuff like that. But also strongholds of the enemy, you know, in our nation, in our lives, in our cities, and in our culture, which we can bring down, but not with the weapons of this world. Do you understand what this means? It means that you can overcome supernaturally, not with natural means. David didn't brought down Goliath, you know, with a spear, with a helmet, and you know how Saul tried to equip him with his weapons, and David said, no, I'm not going this way, you know, I know how to fight him. He fought Goliath not with something, but he fought and overcame Goliath with the help of someone. He said, I'm coming, you're coming against me, and it's a long list of weapons, but I am coming against you in the name of the Almighty God, whose armies you despised. So the whole Israel will see today that there is not a weapon, not power, there is a God in Israel. Whoo! Absolutely amazing that when David said, I will cut your head, okay? He doesn't have a knife, he doesn't have a sword, he doesn't have anything of what he's prophesying, that he will cut the head of Goliath. What he has is a stone and a sling, okay? But he's prophesying, I will take away your head today and give the corpses of your camp, you know, to the birds of heaven. Isn't that amazing? That without even having in his hand anything like that, he already foresaw and he prophesied what the results will be. In other words, I will use your own weapon to destroy your and to take off your own head. Absolutely amazing. What's our weapon? By death or through death, the book of Hebrews says, through death, Jesus destroyed the one who had power over death. By the death of Jesus, we are weaponized supernaturally to destroy the works of the devil. You know the promise. You will pierce his heel and he will destroy and crush your head. That was the promise given to the serpent in the garden in the very beginning. And by the death of Jesus on the cross, you know, I saw an artifact of found in Israel of someone, a criminal being crucified, and they show how the nail goes exactly through the bone of the heel. That's how they would pierce their feet and nail them to the cross. And actually, God was prophesying in the garden about the coming destruction of our enemy. Before Paul, before the New Testament theology, God was establishing the promise of the Redeemer, and the consequences that he will be nailed to the cross. But in this death, he will destroy and smash the head of our enemy. And I'm telling you, our weapons are found all in what Christ accomplished and he did for us. We are not fighting our own battle. We are not seeking our own accomplishments. We are applying. We are putting on. We are just appropriating the victory and everything, you know, which is called the finished work on the cross, praise God, for us, for our behalf, for you and for me. He did it for us and he said, it is finished. No more sacrifices required. With one sacrifice, I will bring total destruction and victory, praise God, for my people. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whoo, praise God. Well, because one part of us is still human, I'm looking to close up. And we are still dependent on some things. Because I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you and just have some ministry time. And let me tell you, the enemy, Jesus describes the enemy as a thief. Amen. He says, the thief comes for nothing else but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now listen to this. But I have come that you may have deposited in your bank account, praise God, spiritual one, abundant life, supernatural life, victorious life. Isn't that amazing? Which simply means whatever in the natural the enemy has accomplished to steal, kill, destroy, and stuff like that, through the victory of Jesus, God will bring restoration, restitution, and regaining, you know, what belongs to you in the image of your God, your Savior, your Father, amen, and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, so many things, as I told you, but I want to finish with one thing. Thank you, Lord. Holy place. Thank you, Jesus. Do you remember that day Nehemiah realized that his city, the city of his fathers, is totally desolated, burned down, ruins, in ruins and desolation, talking about Jerusalem. And he is in a foreign land ministering to a great king. And he got this desire and this impartation, I believe, from the Holy Spirit to go back and restore the city of the living God, Jerusalem, in Israel. So he had permission, long story short, from the king, authorized, had some finances and everything, went back home, and when what he saw, the Bible says, it was so bad. It was so bad that even the donkey he was riding was not able to make it through the ruins. You see? And then on the third day, he collected the elders and, the local citizens. And he said, let us rise up and build, which simply means restoration. Amen? Now, it's something very interesting. If you follow the scriptures, the next chapter starts with the restoration and with the rebuilding. Think about your life. Think about God is bringing new life from the ruins of the former experiences or whatever you've been through. Okay, because the enemy, as I told you, comes like a thief, like someone who destroys. But praise God that out of the ruins of the former desolations, he can bring something which will be even greater and more beautiful. But how does it start? Chapter 3 of Nehemiah says, and they started building, okay, the walls. First, the walls, which simply means God is establishing control of the traffic of what is coming in your life and what is going out. But the most important thing, they started with the sheep gate. Sheep gate was the first one to be restored, established, consecrated, sanctified before anything else to start, to be rebuilt and restored in Jerusalem. It started with the sheep gate. And I'm telling you, you may be in a difficult place, in a tough place, but I'm telling you, your life will not come to restoration until you start by establishing the pillars and the formation of the sheep gate in your life. That's the beginning for every restoration. What is the sheep gate? They had many gates. All kind of gates around, the walls of Jerusalem. But they started with this specific one. The sheep gate is the one through which, the sacrificial lambs, the animals appointed to be sacrificed on the altar would come and be slaughtered on the altar instead of the sinners, instead of those who are trespassing, taking their place. Which, as a type and shadow, Jesus says in the New Testament, bow down and worship him. I am the gate. I am the gate of salvation. I am the sheep gate. Whoever comes and enters through me will find salvation, will find pasture, restoration, life, everything required for life and godliness. Praise God. And you see how wonderful is this. And today, I want to do that invitation in the spirit. Let your trust, your expectation start by giving place to the sheep gate, by giving place to Jesus in your life, to take your place of whatever you are suffering, whatever you are facing, I told you it might be emotional, physical, healing, or just something in the natural. But he took your place. He became the substitute. Amen? He became the substitute for you and for me. And because of him, we have boldness. We have boldness today to stand on the ground of expectation that my life will not be the same, but I am expecting a supernatural transformation to enter and to take place by establishing the new beginning of the sheep gate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Do you know that Jesus, from being accused, scorched, then he took the cross, okay, the wooden cross, and that was the gate through which he went out of Jerusalem and was crucified on Golgotha. The hill of Golgotha is located very close to the sheep gate. That was the gate he, went out carrying his cross, which you and I deserved. Do you know that this alley of death for the sacrificial animals was only one way? No animal, no sheep ever return back. Once it crosses the sheep gate, it is appointed to die on the altar. Jesus was the Lamb of God who was the first one to do this, to turn this direction, into an entirely new way, and he was the first one to enter and to go out. That's why he says they will enter, they will go out, and they will find pasture. If they follow me, they will come to Golgotha, they will see me, the Lamb of God, taking their place, and then what? His side was open, new life. Woo! Holy Spirit, living waters flew out for me and for you. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we pray right now and we invite your precious people for